Hi guys, this is Fiona from IELTS with Fiona, and in this lesson I've been really lucky to get my hands on a copy of Cambridge Practice Tests Book 18. So I'm going to go through it with my members, and today I'm starting with the first reading, which is all about urban farming. Now, farming, of course, is a huge vocabulary topic in IELTS, and I've noticed that in this book 18, most of the readings relate in some way to the environment, either the environment or like architecture and towns. And here we've got a little bit of both. It's urban farming, so all the vocabulary that you know about this topic, you can bring to the reading. For example, the things about chemicals that we use to farm, intensive farming, carbon footprint, food miles, how far the food has travelled for us to eat it, and things like that. So it's a really common topic, and your background knowledge should really help you with this. The question types are very similar for passage one. There's usually a gap fill and usually true, false, not given. Although I did notice in this book 18, there are test three and test four where they have matching information and matching people and choosing from a list. So we can never really guarantee what kind of questions we'll get in each part. And anyway, it doesn't really matter, because the important thing is that when you get to the test, you know how to deal with a variety of question types, and also just your language and understanding will help you answer whatever the question is. The title is Urban Farming, and there's a subtitle, and the subtitle tells us urban farmers in Paris are trying a soil-free approach to agriculture that uses less space and fewer resources. Could it help cities face the threats to our food supplies? So they pose a question there. So it's a little less common for a passage one to have this kind of discussion question. But actually, when you read the text, it's mostly factual and descriptive, as you would expect in a passage one. So when you look at the passage as a whole, it starts off with the usual background paragraph, and it just tells us here we are in Paris, and it lists the food, basically strawberry plants, lettuces, herbs, tomatoes, aubergines and chards. So that's the usual kind of background paragraph that you would get in this kind of magazine style article to bring the reader into the world that they're going to talk about. Then it introduces a man called Pascal Hardy, so capital letters there. He's an engineer, and he's the person who started this 5 years ago in Paris on a rooftop. And it talks about how much he harvests now, how many people work there, young urban farmers, and possibly what they could target in the future. In the next paragraph, Pascal Hardy talks about why he decided to do this, and he talks about the drawbacks of modern day farming, and they are everything that you can expect. The first thing he says, most foods have been treated with 17 different pesticides. You know, this is a really important and common word. We often hear pesticides, herbicides, insecticides, and that's usually the biggest problem with modern day farming. Also, the intensive farming techniques, they're huge generators of greenhouse gases. Also, they've travelled 2,000 refrigerated kilometres, so there's the thing about food miles, and therefore the quality is poor, because the food is chosen just so that they can withstand these long journeys. So, you know, they don't taste good. And finally, 80%, so most of the money actually goes to the sellers rather than the producers. So there are ethical issues there. He goes on then to talk about the opposite, what he is doing and what are the benefits of this. He says it doesn't require much water, just a small amount of water, which is recycled. The food doesn't travel anywhere because it's grown in the city and the people in the city eat it. And it uses, yeah, less water. The crops are chosen for their flavour, not because of how long they can last in storage. And again, he mentions it uses 90% less water than intensive farming. Finally, the last two paragraphs put the whole thing in context, and they say it's not a new phenomenon. And you know, we've had readings about this before. We've had crop growing skyscrapers, for example. And it says that this thing is called aeroponic farming. We've had that word before. And it's quite easy to do. The equipment he talks about can be put on any flat surface. It's cheap to buy and it's cheap to run. It doesn't use much electricity. Finally, it talks about some of the limitations to what they can grow. For example, they have to be seasonal. They can't really grow root vegetables. Fruit trees are not an option. And beans take up a lot of space. So it's not perfect, but the conclusion is it could be something that could change the way that we buy or produce our food. Let's look at the set of questions now. There are three sets. The first is just three gap fills, and the second one is a table where it compares intensive farming with this aeroponic urban farming. And the final set of questions is true, false, not given. So let's try and identify where we can break up that text. The first clue we've got, if we're just looking for things that stand out, is the third question where it says 10%. And if you go back to the text, we've got the 10% here at the end of the second paragraph. Then the table of comparisons will be in the middle two paragraphs. And finally, when we look at the true, false, not given, we can expect this to be in the last two paragraphs about urban farming in general. So let's focus specifically at the first three gaps and try to make some predictions. You can use two words and or a number. The first one talks about a list of things they can grow. So we go immediately to the first paragraph. You don't need to read anything, but search for a type of food. The first one they give you is strawberries. So you find strawberries and then find the next one before herbs. And it says row upon row of lettuces. And near these are the herbs. So lettuces is the answer. Notice that it's plural. In gap two, we've got as much as. Now this signals to me that they're looking for a quantity. There will eventually be a daily harvest of as much as something in weight. The weight is a big clue as well, because in the paragraph there are lots of numbers like 14,000 square meters, 3,000 lettuces, 150 punnets of strawberries, 20 staff, but there's only one weight and it's 1,000 kilograms. So you do need to write that kg and just copy it exactly as it is. So number two was 1,000 kg. And number three, again, we've got account for, it is possible the farm's produce will account for as much as 10%. So you go to the 10%. What does that 10% mean? and it's 10% of the city's something overall. And sure enough, it says 10% of consumption. So consumption is the answer. Do notice the spelling, T-I-O-N. It's one of those words from my word formation list, from consume as a verb and consumption as the noun. Let's look now at the second set of gap fill questions, and this is in the form of a table. The title of the table helps us find the paragraphs. The title is Intensive Farming versus Aeroponic Urban Farming, and it takes us to the two paragraphs where Hardy is talking about the things he doesn't like about intensive farming, and then the paragraph about the benefits of aeroponic urban farming. And you can see that in two rows in the table. So the first one is about intensive farming, and it refers to the first paragraph. First of all, we're looking for a wide range of something used. Notice the passive there, and in these gap fill summaries, it's in note form, so you don't see the verb to be. So a wide range of something is used. So we're looking for range as a synonym of something that is used. And remember, we talked about the fact that intensive farming food has been treated with 17 different pesticides, and different is the synonym for wide range. So pesticides is the answer, and it's plural. It's one of my key words in the first topic in my vocabulary course, which is farming and agriculture. And pesticides is one of those words you can almost predict will be in the gap fill. Then it goes on to talk about the selection process. They say the quality is not good. Varieties of fruit and vegetables are chosen that can survive long something. So go back again to that paragraph, and it says, I don't like the fact that they've travelled an average of 2,000 refrigerated kilometres to my plate. Their quality is poor because the varieties are selected, that's the synonym for chosen, for their capacity to withstand such substantial journeys. Now, there's a lot of language there, but you could probably guess from withstand and survive being synonyms. Substantial, meaning a lot, synonym for long. And so the answer is journeys, plural again. And note the spelling, E-Y-S at the end. Finally, when you look at the sale, something receive very little overall income. So who will receive very little income? And go to the pricing. 80% of the price I pay goes to wholesalers and transport companies, not the producers. And that is the answer, producers. Remember, you can only use one word. So although it says the producers, you don't need the, just put producers. Then go to the next paragraph, which is about aeroponic urban farming, and that's the next row in the table. Skip the bits about growth, ignore that, go straight to something about selection. Produce is chosen because of its something. So why do they choose the fruit in urban farming? Let's have a look. And it says select, again, synonym for choose. You can select crop varieties for their flavour, not their resistance to the transport and storage chain. So the product or produce is chosen for flavour, and that is the answer. Finally, true, false, not given. And again, don't jump back. Go straight on to the final two paragraphs. We know it starts here, really from that first question, number 8, says urban farming can take place above or below ground. And that takes us to the first word in that last but one paragraph. Urban farming is not a new phenomenon. Strawberries are being grown in disused shipping containers, mushrooms in underground car parks. So remember to always use a little bit of common sense when you look for answers. Urban farming, I would guess, could be above or below ground. Then you need to go and find the evidence. And they've given you the evidence of above ground, which is in the shipping containers, and below ground, which is underground car parks. So number 8 is true. Number 9, I think, is a little tricky or easy to fall into a trap. It says, some of the equipment used in aeroponic farming can be made by hand. Now, you could guess, yes, it can, no, it can't. But we need to find evidence and we need to ask that question. Can some of the equipment be made by hand? What do we know about the equipment? It says, the equipment weighs little, can be installed on almost any flat surface, and is cheap to buy. That's what we know. Can it be made by hand? Maybe yes, maybe no. We don't know. It does not say anything about being made by hand. My doubt was that it's cheap to buy. I thought, well, maybe then you have to buy it, which means you can't make it by hand. But they don't ask you to make those kind of leaps of imagination. They only want you to look for evidence in the text, and there is none. So number 9 is not given. Now, true, false, not given, whenever you see a comparison, I always say it's a red flag. And usually they are not given because there's no comparison in the text. However, in this text, of course, they're making lots of comparisons because they're comparing this new method with the traditional method. And number 10 says, urban farming relies more on electricity than some other types of farming. So look for the bit about electricity. And it says it is cheap to run, consuming a tiny fraction of the electricity used by some techniques. A tiny fraction. So this is the answer. A very, very small part of normal techniques. So therefore, does it rely more? No, the opposite. It relies less on electricity. In 11, fruit and vegetables grown on an aeroponic urban farm are cheaper. So there's another comparison, cheaper than traditionally grown organic produce. So find about costs. It says, produce grown this way typically sells at prices that are generally higher than intensive agriculture, but lower than soil-based organic growers. So we are looking for traditionally grown organic produce, which is soil-based organic growers. And what it says is that prices are lower, and therefore 11 is true. It's cheaper than organic produce. Number 12, most produce can be grown. And keyword or red flag there, we're looking for quantities. Most produce can be grown on the urban farm at any time of the year. So go and have a look at the final paragraph. about the limits. So we need to know how much produce can be grown on an urban farm at any time of the year. When you go to the limits, it says much of the produce is suited to the summer months, and therefore 12 is false. It cannot be grown at any time of the year because most of it has to be grown in the summer months. So 12 is false. Finally, they talk about beans, and it's a comparison again. Beans take longer to grow on an urban farm. So we're looking for how long they take to grow. And it says beans tend to take up a lot of space. That's it. It takes up a lot of space. It might be a trick, take longer, take space. Maybe they're trying to trick you, I don't know. But there's no comparison about how long they take to grow, only how much space they take. So I hope you enjoyed that and found it useful. It is from the latest book, and if you're in the Members Academy, I'll be working through it with you. Remember, there are already two quite intensive reading courses in the Members Academy. And at the moment, there's a package. You get the two courses, and that includes a one-year membership package, which means you're in my community or in my Facebook group. You get the private blog, the daily tips for 1 year, all the new materials, plus a monthly live session with me and a weekly email update. Thanks for listening. Let me know if you've got any requests. Bye for now. Bye-bye.